So I'm going to use the microphone, but they're not going to know I'm using a microphone, except by what they see. Is that what you're saying? Huh? If you have a little bit, if you all want to move up closer to the front, that would be wonderful. Okay, that should be good enough. Okay, now I've got the microphone, but it's not, you all don't know that it's working, but it's working on the internet. Is that what you're saying, Glenn? Okay, it is being recorded. So, can everybody hear me? Okay. Hallelujah. We will not quit. Amen. We're going to talk today about the devil being a bully. Be sober. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. James 4, 7 and 8 tells us, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And one of the realities of living in the world today is the existence of bullies. It's become such an issue that they have all kinds of anti-bullying laws. You look at somebody the wrong way, you're bullying them, you know. So, but I read that there are at least 160,000 kids stay home every day from school in America because of bullying. But bullying is not something that just started in the last few years. It's been around since Cain and Abel, since Cain killed Abel. It's always been in existence. And bullying is defined as one who uses physical, emotional, verbal intimidation to gain control over others. So today I want to talk to you about bullying, not from the neighbor or the kid next door or the boss or your spouse or a family member, you know, those that we can see with our natural eyes. The bully that I want to talk to you today is about our adversary, the devil. He is a bully, and his demons are bullies. Amen? So if he opens his mouth, it is a lie. Nothing comes forth from the enemy except lies. He uses verbal intimidation to gain control over us, which causes us to have fear and doubt. And that is his tactic. And his purpose in bullying us is to keep us out of step, keep us out of sync, out of balance, and in opposition to that which God has already declared you to be, your purpose, your destiny, and the promises of God. That's why he's a bully. That's why he's bullying you. So who is this devil, the adversary? We understand that he's not a counterpart of God, because God has no equal and God has no opposite. He's always existed, God has. Everything else that now exists, including the angels, were created by God. But the devil, known as Satan, Lucifer, the father of lies, the adversary, was an angel who rebelled against God. He is a rebellious fallen angel, and he's still working in a rebellion state because he hates God and all those who belong to God. And so he's the enemy not only of God, but also of all humankind. And the word says he steals, kills, and destroys. The bully devil, and I want to call him the bully devil, and every time I say that, I think of President Trump saying fake news. The bully devil, the bully devil is powerful, influential, but he is not omnipresent. And that's what I want to get across clearly this morning. He is not omnipresent. Omnipresence is defined as being present everywhere at the same time. Omnipresent is a characteristic of God, of the one true God. That's his characteristic. He's the only one that can be everywhere, all the time, anywhere, any place. Amen? So the devil influences people to sin, true, and it might not always be him directly, but instead is an indirect result of already things that have been established in the world because of the fall. So he works with those influences and our environment around us to try to influence. He uses those things to bully us with. The devil is limited by time and space, but God is not. For again, I say he is omnipresent and the devil is not. Amen. So, but even though Satan is not omnipresent, it cannot be everywhere all the time, anytime, anywhere, it doesn't mean that we should still not be on guard and prepared to stand against him. Because the only way that you can defeat the enemy is to know his tactics and to know his schemes. You don't go into war just in a flash second. Amen? And just say, we're going to go bomb these people without checking them out. They've checked them out. Their army people, whoever's in charge of all that stuff, if they're going to war against the country, they're going to know that country inside and out. They're going to know their people, their nature, their characteristics, and everything about them. And then they're going to go in loaded. Amen. So as a church, we need to know that we have an enemy. And he is not to be afraid of. He's not to be one to be fearful of. Because we've already won. That's our forecast. We've already won. He just doesn't recognize the fact yet that he is not a winner. Amen. And so he bullies the people of God. So that's my purpose in ministering this message today, is to bring us back to the fact that we do have an enemy. And if you feel like that you're pressed right now, the enemy is bullying you to try to get you to quit and to quit dreaming and quit living up to God's purposes. And to say that we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. He likes to talk a lot to get us to doubt the truth of the established word of God. And his tactic is deception. His number one tactic is deception, to deceive. He is the tempter, the accuser, and the father of lies. I remember one time, I think Laverne did a Bible study on this, Dr. Neil Anderson's book. And he wrote in his book, if I were to tempt you, you would know it. If I were to accuse you, you would know it. But if I were to deceive you, you wouldn't know it. So the power of Satan is in the lie, he goes on to say. If you remove the lie, you remove the power. That's why the truth, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you can expose the lie and say, this is the truth, that lie loses its power over you. So the scripture, 1 Peter, didn't say our adversary was a roaring lion. Our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, pretending to be something that he's not. And it's one thing to be a lie, but it's another thing to pretend to be. It's one thing to be a lion, but it's another thing to pretend to be a lion. Because you always have to be on guard to keep up that pretense. Amen? So in order to keep his pretense up, in order to keep who he says he is, he has to bully those who belong to God with verbal intimidation. And the verbal intimidation is the whispers that come to us that says, if God said, so if he can begin to get us to doubt, if he can begin to just get us to doubt the promises of God and his word, that's a snare. And then he can start pulling us in. And you know, bullies talk a lot. In the natural, if you've ever been confronted by a bully, they talk a lot. And they use that talking a lot, that verbal intimidation, because if they ever quit talking long enough, they will realize that they're the ones that are scared. Because they want to make themselves look powerful. So bullies talk a lot. They talk loud and they talk a lot. So they try to dominate you with words that you cannot get out of your head. When that bully harasses you day after day and they say those words, like Jim said, get it out of your head. So he begins to put those thoughts in your head. He wants to dominate you with the words that you cannot get out of your head. And then when you begin to think and meditate on, you actually think that's who you are. So bullies try to shake you up by casting doubt, as I said, which creates fear. Just getting under your skin, so to speak, and it overwhelms you. So it's a daily onslaught. It's a relentless pursuit of the enemy to bully you in every area of your life. The adversary may look and sound intimidating, but our adversary can only roar. Because I believe that when Jesus went down to hell and he brought the keys of back with him to the church, I believe he pulled every one of his teeth. And he cannot bite you. He may gnaw on you a little bit, but that's all he can do. Amen. Just like bullies, the devil talks a lot. The devil roars a lot. And if we allow that roaring sound to overcome and overtake that still small voice of God, he begins to get us into his snare. In Matthew 4, the bully even came after Jesus one time. So if you think, well, I don't need the bully to come after, he came after Jesus. And if Jesus had submitted to him, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be where we're at. So in Matthew 4, the bully, the devil, had come for Jesus. And he just to come after us, he came after Jesus. And his purpose in bullying Jesus was to knock him off the course of his mission. It was to knock him off of his purpose and his destiny of why he came to the earth. And it's like I said before, that is the purpose of the enemy bullying us. It's to knock us off course, knock us off our purpose, and to keep us from walking in the will and plan of God. So if he could have bullied Jesus into submission, he would have had every one of us. So he went after Jesus hard and heavy. And that Jesus was led, the Matthew 4 tells us, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. After fasting 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry, the word tells us. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones be made bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes through the mouth of God. So Jesus here was hungry. He was at a weak point. And Satan comes in and he sees this opportunity of weakness in Jesus. And so he just says, well, no, if you are who you say you are, you could command these stones to be bread. See, even the devil knew the power that Jesus had in him. And he said, if you really are who you say you are, I want you to prove it to me by turning these stones to bread. And then you won't be hungry no more. But Jesus had to keep his eyes on, Jesus had to keep his eye on the mission and on his purpose. And so what did he do? He counteracted that word with a word that said, it is written. It is written. So he could have turned and spoke the word. Man shall not, Jesus turned and spoke the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then it goes on to say in 5 and 7, the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, you could command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered again, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to rest, or to the test. So the first bully attack didn't work. So don't think the enemy is not going to come after you again. And when I was reading that, Pastor, I thought of you being under attack so much. The first attack didn't work. The second attack didn't work. The third attack didn't work. The fourth attack didn't work. Finally, he said, well, I'm just going to kill him. But he forgot about Laverne. Amen. He forgot. He was so busy trying to take you out that he forgot about Laverne. Woo. Amen. So the first bully attack didn't work, so he is relentlessly pursuing us, and that's why we have to relentlessly pursue God and his word concerning us. So the first bully attack didn't work, so he said, I'm going to come back with another one. So he said, listen, if you are who you say you are, you could jump off the top of this temple at the highest point. You could just jump off and hit the ground. And he said, but on the way down, all you have to do, it's called the angels, and they'll come and save you. So again, he was bullying Jesus with verbal intimidation to try to prove who he was. I want you to know that you're a son and daughter of God, and you don't have to prove to the devil anything. You don't have to offer any proof to the devil for anything. And so Jesus took the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and again he said, it is written. It is written. So in verse 8 and 11, the second bully attack didn't work. So again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, all this I will give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil left him. The angels came and attended to him. So here we have the bully attack didn't work again. So the devil said, listen, look at all this right here I could give you. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. Isn't that just like the enemy telling people, look at all of this. Just go ahead and sell some more drugs. Look at all that. Do this. Just take a little bit of money. They'll never miss it. Look at what it'll get you. Look at what it'll gain you. So he begins to bully you with tactics like that. And so the devil showed him all the glitz, all the glamour, and all the richness of the world. And he says, all of this could be yours. All you have to do is worship me. All you have to do is bow down toward me, and I'll give you all this. But he doesn't show you that the death and destruction at the end of those things. Again, Jesus stood in faith, resisted the devil, and the word says that he fled from him, and the angels came and ministered to him. And just like Satan comes to bully us when we are at the most weakest point, the most vulnerable point in our lives, and when we're down. You know, maybe it's that extended illness or that thing you're trying to pay off or the temptation to addiction or struggle or feeling unworthy or all those things. That, we all got places in our life that I call soft places, which are places of weakness. And that's what the enemy wants to attack. And that, if you've got that soft place, that's the place that you need to have the strength of God help you overcome. Because that's what he's going to continue to attack until you allow the Lord to strengthen you in that area. Because so it could be just stuff that seems to overwhelm you day after day, going to the same job, working with the same crazy people. You know, it could be those things, just life in general, that he wants to use to bully you with. Let me tell you a little story about a little boy. Let me tell you a story about a little boy. He was getting bullied until there was nothing else he could do. He just wanted it to stop. So one day it was so overwhelming, he came home, ran in the house, ran to his bedroom, and began to cry uncontrollably. A knock came on the door, and it was his best friend. And he had seen the bullying going on in his friend's life for days and days. You know why I'm going to stand with you? I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand for you, and I'm going to fight back with you. Everything changed at that moment. He had come to help him, and this time it was going to be different. Well, I want to tell you, the enemy has one weapon going for him, and that is fear. And if he can get us to fear by causing his appearance and what he sounds like, he can control us. Faith over fear. At that moment, everything changed in that little boy's life because he had somebody that he knew that was going to stand with him for him. Amen. And I want you to know today that Jesus has already come to stand with you. And he has already come to stand for you. So you do not have to allow the enemy to bully you with verbal intimidation. Amen. So when we are intimidated by a bully, it causes fear to consume us. And you know what fear does? Fear paralyzes us. And when we are paralyzed, we cannot move. We cannot say anything. We're paralyzed. So we don't want to leave the house. We don't want to do anything. We want to go into hiding. We don't want to say anything for fear of retaliation. Faith pushes you forward. For with the eye of faith, I can clearly see that God is for me, not against me. And he's already sent help. He's already sent help, and I just call out to him. And I just say, angels, come on. Let's do something about this situation. So there's one standing with you for you, and he will fight your battles. And he has already declared you to be a winner. And when you are weak, at your weakest, when you are struggling, when you need another voice to stand up for you, when you felt like you have lost your voice because of fear and being paralyzed, there is a voice inside of you that if you'll just tap into it, trust in and believe, and that voice will rise up out of you. And it will be the sound of a roaring lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. So yes, there is a spiritual battle going on in life, and the lies of the bully devil wants to whisper to us and does whisper to us. But there is one who not only fights for us, but there is now one who is with us in our fight along the way. So I want to encourage you that you're not alone. You are not alone. You're not forsaken. Everybody else may have forsaken you. Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never what? forsake you. Amen. So he is with us to fight along the way. And like Jesus silenced the voice of the bully devil with the word, Jesus quoted scripture. It is written. And when we are being bullied by the enemy, you need God's voice back. You need your life. You need God's word, God's promises in your life. For that is power to all those that believe. And that is through the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I would encourage you today, all you need is one word from God to cause the bully devil to tremble and flee. You don't have to know chapter after chapter, verse after verse, word after word. You don't have to have the whole Bible memorized or every T and every cross and every I dotted. All you need is one word. Get behind me, Satan. That's all you need. You don't have to quote him. He would like for you to. Well, if God really said, you ought to know that verse is in the Bible. Amen. But just like Jesus said, all we have to do is say, it is written. It is written. But take what you do know and begin to speak it in faith. Believe it and trust it. That what the word declares has power behind it. And you're backed up by heaven and all the angels that God has signed over you. Verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word that Jesus spoke was a rhema word for that moment. It was an utterance for that specific time and that specific battle. It was not the scripture as a whole, but to that portion which the believer wielded as a sword in that time of need. And that's what I was just saying. When you're in that position and you think, I don't know enough word. I don't know how to quote it. I can't even find it. But I've heard Pastor say it. I've heard Sister Phyllis say it. I've heard Bob say it. So I trust them and I know it's there. All you have to do is just speak that one word. Amen. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. You know, when a soldier suited up for battle, the helmet was the last piece of our armor to go on. And in other words, it was the act of readiness, the final act of readiness. All of his armor was on except for the helmet. And now he's going to have to put that helmet on. And a helmet was vital for survival because it protected the brain. And the command station for the rest of the body. If the head was badly damaged, the rest of the armor would be of any use. That's why the enemy wants to damage your brain. Amen. He don't want you thinking right. He wants to get you out of balance. He don't want you thinking clearly. He wants you to be messed up. But I want to tell you, that mess is going to cause you to have a message. And that I'm telling you right now, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, that mess is going to cause you to have a message. And you're going to be able to deliver that message with power and authority. And he says it's in the workplace where it's going to happen. Because people's going to see a difference in you. You're not going to be grumpy when you go into work anymore. Hallelujah. But there's going to be a light shine, a radiance shining out forth from you. And that mess the enemy has caused you to be in, it caused you to become stagnant, it caused you to be fearful and ashamed and all that. God said, I'm taking that and I'm going to use it for my glory. And it's going to be a message that's going to set many free. Because there's many people out there that need to be free. And one of the things that they need to be free from more than anything is religion. Is religion. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the bully starts to throw those fiery darts of intimidating words against us, don't let it get to you. Don't let it get under your skin. Don't let it get it in your head. Don't let it get it in your mind. And as Brother Jim said, get it out of your head because you have the helmet of salvation on. You don't have to get up every day and put it on. You have it on. Just believe that you do. And none of us Christians will walk this life of faith without it being unchallenged. You are going to be challenged because we live in a fallen world where there's real people, real problems, and an enemy that throws fiery darts, the bully devil, throwing fiery darts of words of intimidation at us to cause us to be fearful. And the assurance, and I remember a long time ago, the Lord gave me a word at this church. It was a really small church. I probably had to give him a couple words. And I remember part of the end of that word, don't let the enemy, don't let your, I got it wrote down here if I could find it. Don't let your mind become the playground of the devil. If you allow your mind to become the playground of the devil, he's going to set up all kinds of playground equipment. And he's just going to swing and have himself a good old time. And you're just going to think you just have to go along for the ride. So don't allow your mind to be the playground of the devil. You have the helmet of salvation on and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the assurance of salvation is our impenetrable defense against the enemy, what the enemy throws at us. And salvation is not just limited to a one-time act, but it's much more than that. It covers much more than that. And it's not just a hope for the future. God's salvation is ongoing, eternal state that we as his sons and daughters of God, we as his sons and daughters can enjoy right now while we're here on this earth. It's a daily protection and deliverance from Satan's schemes. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Bullies hate it when people stand up to them. First of all, it surprises them because they've been intimidating them for so long. And once that bully begins to stand up to them, something begins to change. They don't expect it, and it scares them. And so, you know what? God gave us everything that we need to stand up to the bully devil. He gave us everything we need. When you stand your ground, the devil will flee from you. So don't allow your mind to become the playground of the devil. And the devil is a spiritual bully. The Bible says in James 4, 7, 8, therefore submit to God. And that word submit, one time I read it, was like submarine. It comes from the word submarine. A submarine was created to operate underwater. You were created to operate, and you're seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. You were created to operate under him and his leadership and his authority. Therefore, submit. Bring yourself under God. Submit to him. Submit to his word. Resist. That means you take an active part in what has already been done. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then it goes on to say, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I just have a quick word I want to read to you, and then we're going to be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for your presence that's been in the house today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And just remind us that the interruptions, the minor interruptions of life, that we keep a good attitude, a cheerful disposition, and we just keep on going. Hallelujah. We will not be stopped by interruptions that come along in our life. That you're molding us and just continually taking us into the full purpose that you've created us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was preparing for this word, I heard the Spirit say that there are some here that have given up way too soon. And the fight is no longer there, it seems. The enemy has come in and lied to you and said it is too late. The best is over. The best is behind. You might as well throw in the towel and quit. But I've come to tell you this morning that your warfare is spiritual. And it's not against people, but it's against the powers of darkness. People is not your problem. You have been fighting a battle that's already been won. And what you need to do is get your praise on. You just need to start rejoicing because Jesus triumphed over Satan and destroyed his works at Calvary. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Satan's only weapon now against you is deception. And the only way to defeat deception is with the truth of the word. What does the word say? For therein is the truth. You are more than a conqueror. God is for you, not against you. He's not withholding any good thing from you. You are healed by his stripes, and your sins are forgiven by his blood. You are the head and not the tail. He makes all things abound toward you. People may say you can't, but God has says you can. People may say no, but God says yes. Because no man can't compare with God's yes. No, what man says cannot compare with God's yes. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The word tells us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The morning may not necessarily be the AM. The morning may be when the light comes on and you find out you have already won, even if it don't look like it. Whatever God has started in you, he is able, as the Lord of hosts, to bring it to completion. The opposition that has come is only a distraction. Use it as a stepping stone to further the purpose. Whatever the enemy has used to stop the construction, God is going to restore what is needed to finish it. God is not only going to restore back to you what has been stolen, but he's going to be better. Restoration in the Word is always increased, multiplied, improved, so that its latter state is significantly better than its original state. And when I read that whatever the enemy has used to stop the construction, God is going to restore what is needed to finish it. And like Nehemiah, don't come down from that wall. You just keep on hammering. You just keep on building. You just keep on doing what you know to do. And that's all that you need to do, is just do what you know to do every day. And don't allow the enemy to paralyze you with fear. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the time that we've had with you today in your presence, and the time for with each other as light believers. And I just speak to you, if you're listening to this message by internet today, later on, or whenever, Jesus loves you. And he's got a great big plan for your life. That your past doesn't define your future. That you can be all that you've ever dreamed that you could be. Because in him there is no lack. And he has equipped you with everything that you need to be what he has called you to be. And he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Don't allow the temptation of the enemy, the bullying, verbal intimidation of the enemy, to say that you can't when God says, yes, you can, because I'm on your side and you are favored. And I speak that over you today, that you are highly favored of the Lord, and that you leave this place recharged and refueled with a greater sense of urgency to make a difference out there where the darkness is at. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
See the love in your eyes. Lay yourself down, raising up the broken to love.
One, two. One, two, three.